Well, praise the Lord. You know, that the song we sang just a little bit ago, Never Once. I tell you, if you can't just wrap yourself in God's arms right then, He's never, ever left us. Even when it felt like we were alone. Maybe people didn't know what you were going through. Maybe people did, and it didn't seem like they were reaching out enough. But maybe it was God saying, you need to reach on, grab hold of me a little tighter. Never once has He failed us. Never once has He dropped the ball. He is such a good, good Father. To that, happy Father's Day. I was just standing back here looking around, and I think I've only got 2 men in here who are not fathers. And very good reason, they're not married. 3. Yeah, there are 3. Yes. I forgot to keep counting on the stage. But I'll talk about something this here in a minute. But I just wanted to wish you all a happy Father's Day. And so let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You. Father, that You are a good, good Father. You're not abusive. You're not cruel. Father, You're patient. You're kind. And You're continually pushing and holding back so that many more may know who You are. Father, we are grateful to be called Your children. And we present to You today, Lord, our tithe and our offering. It's an honor to serve You. It is an honor to bring this into Your house. And now, Father, I call it blessed according to Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and kids are going to stay in real quick. I did have a few announcements if you didn't read it. Today is the last day to get Miss Vicky information for the newsletter. Also, next Sunday, Angela and I would like to invite you to an evening. Where are we at? Oh, yeah, Compassion Cafe next Sunday in the morning. But then in the evening from 5 p.m. until whenever, we are going to have a Sunday / snack bar and a open house. That'll be the last Sunday Jesse's here. So, yeah, a little jam session. So, you know, who knows what you're going to hear? Y'all have walked in here before church starts, and they're rocking sometimes. And those of you that listen to the radio, you probably heard a few songs being just played out before things happened. So, but you know, we really want to honor the fathers today. It would take somebody who is actually dead to not see what's happening in the world right now. Back at Mother's Day, they wanted to change it to birthing person. Well, Father's Day, it's sperm donor. I'm sorry, I'd like to slap the person who came up with that thought. Because being a father is an honor. And it's an honor that is deprived of many, but abused by many. It's an honor that the devil has gone after for generations to try to stop. When he couldn't stop it, he caused wars to kill off as many young men as he could, many of them fathers. And the ones that did come back, well, they had problems. And they weren't the fathers that they could have been. We have the obligation, gentlemen, as believers, as new creatures in Christ. I get it. Not every dad's a good dad. Not every dad's a perfect dad. But we can be a better dad. We can be better than what we were. Somebody asked me one time, how do I know what is right after I've seen all that is wrong? This may seem simplistic, but you do the opposite of what you know is wrong. I know it's real simple. And that's the problem with this world right now. We've complicated. We've allowed sin to complicate what should be so cut and dry. There should never be a law on the books that says a naturally born male cannot compete against a female. There should never be that law. Gentlemen, your sons are going to be attacked. Your daughters are going to be attacked. Everything you've ever tried to teach them is going to be compromised because people are evil. There's an evil generation. There's an evil generation with Noah, and God looked down and he saw that the thoughts of their minds was continually evil. Folks, we're back there. We are back. How much longer will the Lord tarry? I don't know, but I will tell you this. I would rather be on God's side than the side that says, uh-oh. There is no getting Mako. You better cry out to Lord God right now. We are fathers. And if you aren't the natural father, you became a father. You became the dad. You became the person that will raise that child. Some of you have had a good example. Somebody who took you in like that. I praise God for that. But I will tell you this, you have got to leave the past on the altar and walk away from it forever. Quit going back and stirring it up. The devil likes to stir. Y'all, most of you were here when I talked about what happens when people stir things, right? You're in the septic tank, baby. And when you start stirring that honey pot, oh, it ain't honey. It's bad. And that's what the devil does. I praise God that you're here today. Because that tells me you're trying. You want to be a better father. You want to be a better dad. You want to be a better husband. And you can ask my boys, and I've told them this. I've made mistakes. And gentlemen, you're going to make mistakes, you young fathers. But I want you to be better than me. I'm not your competition. I want my sons to be better fathers than me, better husbands. That's what my goal is to create somebody better. I'll be honest with you, I knew pretty much right out of the book when they started being born 9 pounds, 7 ounces, and whatever. I wasn't going to be the biggest one in my family for long. And now I fit under the armpit of one of my sons. I can still take him. I cheat. Ask all of them. But gentlemen, today, I would like for all you fathers to come up. Jason, this includes you. Yep, come on up here, gentlemen. Okay. Yeah, y'all go over here and face that way. I take that back. There were four young men. I keep forgetting that one's as old as he is. You know what, guys?
Happy Father's Day, men. I will just read this to you, and you can read it later if I stumble over stuff. A $300 donation has been made to the USO in honor of Addis Feet Christian Center Fathers. With this donation, the USO will be able to continue services to the men and women serving to defend our nation, including giving special thanks to military fathers who are sacrificing time with their families this Father's Day. Thank you, Addis Feet Christian Center dads, for the love and sacrifice you show your families each day. We cannot thank you enough for your leadership, hard work, and tender mercies that reflect our Heavenly Father to us. Have a blessed day knowing that we appreciate you. And on the flip side, it shows a card of thanks. Says, thanks, we can celebrate our freedom because of you. Please know that wherever you are, what you are doing for America is greatly appreciated. All of us here at home are with you in spirit. Your courage keeps us safe. Your sacrifices keep us free. May you stay safe and come home soon. With thanks from this grateful American, Addis Feet Christian Center. And this will go to USO centers all over the world. So, we just want to honor you, knowing that this is probably a very important cause to you as well. So thank you.
Yeah, and that was exactly right. This was chosen. I get it. It's not a ministry per se, but having been a recipient of what the USO does, it works. It helps. And, you know, I'm looking up here. There's several of you who know what I'm talking about. You've been partook of what the USO does. And there's a couple of us up here now who have, we got a grandson who is in the Army now. We've got a son who's in the Air National Guard, right? Air, okay. Yeah, I thought it was Air because he went to, and then Jesse's going to be in the Navy. So they're all going to get to learn this. And at one point or another, believe it or not, your life was affected by somebody working through the USO. And right now, these are still young men and women. I look back and I think, my goodness, they're so young still. I mean, from what we've been told, their brains aren't even developed yet until 25. And at 18, we're telling them, go kill somebody. What's that got to do? But this is something that should your children ever need, I want to make sure that it continues to go on. Now, my wife surprised us with a little something. Would you like to?
Oh, well, just because y'all are so sweet, we decided you need a little something sweet, too. So after Pastor prays for you, you go in your seat, you can see Justin. And choose of the three candies. If none of those are your favorite, choose your wife. She might trade it for another one.
Yes. All right. I'm going to pray for you and bless you today, gentlemen. And I want you to know I'm proud of you. It's not easy right now raising children. I still got one at home, and I know what they're trying to shove down his throat. It's not cool. So it's going to be tougher as this garbage keeps bubbling up. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray for my brothers. I bless them, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord God, that you bless them. Father, you give them advice. You give them wisdom. Father, you lead them and guide them, not only in the raising of their children, but, Father, in their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, Father, those who have the influence into those lives. Father, I thank you and praise you for these gentlemen right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that they are standing up in church, Father, and they are recognized as men of God. Not just fathers, but they are men of God. They are leaders in their homes. Father, they are leaders in their communities as well. Lord, I bless them and thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Gentlemen, thank you. Ladies, don't forget your candy. Because if you do, I promise you, he's going to run with the basket. Yeah. Yes, the super kids are dismissed now. Yep. Praise God. Last week we began talking about demons. It's a subject some churches deny even exists today. Of course, they also deny the blood of Christ. They deny the deity of Christ. And these are places called church. There are some churches, one within 20 miles of here, who actually talk to demons. They call themselves a spiritualist church. There are so many misideas on what a demon is. We got everything from what we see on the movies, which holds some truth. We get it from some of our supernatural lore. I'm not going to go into everything I did last week. I will graze it. But I want to bring up real quick, if you will, Jason, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Last week I pointed out there are sicknesses that are natural. There are diseases that are natural. Then there's diseases man-made. But then there are things that are caused by demonic influence. And Jesus gave us as believers power and authority over those things. Not power to bring witchcraft in to try to cast out witchcraft. Jesus talked about that. He said, how can the devil cast out the devil? How can a house divided against itself stand? It won't. When he was talking about these things, these unclean spirits, these are, again, I'm just recapping for some of you, these are not fallen angels. These are the spirits of the creation of the angels and man. They are spirits and they require a body. They can go into animals. However, I am not for certain that they can live and thrive inside animals. The pigs committed suicide instantly when Jesus cast them into that man. Why? Because animals do not have the spirit we have. They have a soul, they have a body, but they do not have the eternal spirit of God in them. And so they could not handle the torture that this madman, that's what they called him. They said he was insane. He would sit in the cemeteries naked, and he would claw at himself, and he would lash out at people going by. He would break chains. So if you're anybody strong, suddenly you became a demon-possessed person. I'm just going to tell you right now, I have seen some guys, you have no idea where their strength comes from. They are just strong. We had a sore up and down, he was on steroids. In the sixth grade, man, the guy had biceps and pecs and everything. Either that or he had really failed a lot of years. But he was so much bigger than us. He wasn't demon-possessed. Mental disabilities are not all demon possession. There are things called oppression. Now, to answer one question I've had posed, Pastor, do you think a Christian can be demon-possessed? A true believer, someone who has received Christ verbally with their mouth and said, Jesus be my Lord, no. Can they be oppressed? Absolutely. Oppression and possession are two different things. Right now, we're starting to see what oppression really is in this country. Our rights are being dwindled. People are going after them. People are telling people to tell on us. That's what you start to see, oppression. But possession is where they own you. They control you. And these demons and this madman, there's actually two different accounts. One had two men, one had one. It is actually believed they are two separate accounts. Or one was more dominant. Nobody can agree on it. I choose to believe that there's possibly two different accounts. But they would tear at themselves. They were tormented, and they could not kill themselves. The pigs had no problem doing it. But they were unable. That's why they kept tearing at themselves. That's why they kept lashing out at people. They themselves were tormented beyond what we could comprehend. The Bible says, Jesus talks about in the outer darkness, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is what these people were doing. They aren't chained to a bed, floating, spewing pea soup out at you. They were tormented. And people who are tormented, torment. It's all they can do. They can't control it. When you can't control it, you're in danger. A demon needs a way in, much as in the way of some of our supernatural lore, say such as Dracula. In the lore of Dracula, you have to invite a vampire into your house. I know you're saying, Pastor, you're getting a little loopy. Hang on. I've heard somebody say once, Pastor, some of your rabbit trails. Didn't know where you were going, but boy, when you brought it around, I got it. Just as in the lore of a vampire needing to be invited in, a demon needs to be invited. A demon will come in and through many different ways. Drugs. Mind control drugs. PCP, LSD, things of that nature. And there's all kinds of stuff that's going on now. Bath salts. I knew one person who was on bath salts and saw demons. Yep. Why? Because what drugs do, mind-altering drugs, they do the same thing that alcohol can do. First off, they dull the guard at the gate. That's why in the military, it is a punishable crime to be drunk on duty, because you are not sharp, you are not with it. When you're drunk, when you're high, your mind is no longer in charge. You do whatever your soul wants to, whatever you feel like doing. You will do stupid things. Why did I do that? How did I do that? You're capable of many things. And so when you dull the guard at the gate, which is your spirit, you're not in charge anymore. I told you last week of a young lady who sat in the back of church staring at the back of the head of what used to be her friend, who is now dating the guy she liked. And she sat back there and got angry. And the angrier she got, she began to hate her friend. And her hatred became so powerful, it was the only thing the demon needed. Because I shared with you, shortly thereafter, that demon decided to expose itself. And it had an exorcist movie type ordeal. But the reason it didn't have to leave was because the people that came in to try to deal with it chose to deal with it and with witchcraft. They brought maple leaves to cast a demon out. Does anybody see where Jesus said, bring your maple leaves, your holy water, your Bible? Folks, I need to tell you something about this Bible, if I may. This book. The belief in this book was that it was so holy that it should not be a common thing. That is why they didn't make scrolls for you to take home. You came to the synagogue, and it was read, and it was treated with such respect because it's the Word of God. People use it to think that demons are afraid of it. To them, it's a book. What Jesus gave them was something that nobody can give you. A book can't give you unless you understand what he was saying about it. What needed to happen that night was for a believer to have gotten there first. A spirit-filled believer, let me emphasize this. Because without the Holy Spirit, you're going to do the stupid things that the other guys did, the elders of her church. That night, the demon said, I've been hiding for years now, and I'll go back into hiding. And it was over. And that is, I got that from my parents who were there, who were called. Well, why weren't they able to cast it out? Because when they came, the demons saw that they joined themselves to witchcraft. You can't have witchcraft and faith. So if you're walking around and your faith is in something stupid, get your faith. Listen, I understand the prayer cloths, okay? I get them. I even get oil. But do y'all notice I don't pray for you with oil? Your faith had better not be in that doggone oil. Your faith had better be in the mere words that Jesus spoke. He said, I gave you power and authority. He didn't say, now if you go get the anointing oil and you douse somebody in it, they're going to be healed. Now if that's exactly what God told you to do, you'd better do it. But it's not. I knew a man who walked around with a cloth. He had cancer and he walked around with this pinned inside his coat. I wanted to pray for him, lay hands on him. But he wouldn't because his faith was in that cloth. He died. Folks, I have seen God heal cancer time and time again. I have seen God bring people from the brink of death. I've seen it. I told you last week, I've seen demons in here. People possessed. Here's the first thing you need to understand about somebody who's possessed. They got to want to be free. The demons inside that man, they recognized Jesus. They ran. They made this man run to him. And they said, why have you come to torment us? It's not our time yet. Folks, that's the way the demons should. They should come and they should bow before the power of God. We do not need to fear what may or may not be. A demon. They're nothing to be afraid of. We have painted in our mind all these years that demons are powerful. They are. But you need to understand the first thing a demon needs to operate, and that is fear. A demon needs fear to operate. Why? Because they are in fear. They are in torment. all the time. And you need to understand that. When Jesus walked up, that demon was afraid that its time had come. Now I know you're sitting here thinking, okay, Pastor, you just told us a story about a girl who began to hate somebody else. There are two moving factors in the world. Love. That's of God. We're not talking about a love that accepts sin. We're talking about a love that loves people. We love people as we love ourselves. We treat other people how we want to be treated. The church somewhere along the line forgot that. You don't agree with us, we will have you killed. Nowhere did Jesus ever say that. He said, you don't know what spirit you are of. He said, shake the dust off your feet and move on with your lives. The other one is fear. Those are the only two forces in this world, love and fear. In fear, there's jealousy. I'm afraid you have something that I'm not going to get. You have a job that I want. You have a spouse that I want. That was one unspoken request at a church I went to. It finally came out, and it was the pastor's wife. The woman said, I have an unspoken prayer request. That day, when the pastor learned that, he learned to quit praying for unspoken prayer requests. He was praying for his own wife to die. That's why anybody comes to me, I say, God, you know what's going on. And if this is of your will, you deal with it. If it's not, you stand around my wife. This girl began to fear that she would never have the guy of her dreams. And that fear turned into hatred. And this is why several years ago, and like I said, I may have to just do this message again, you are not built, you are not equipped to handle hatred. Well, I hate sin. No, that's the problem. You hate the sinner. You cannot differentiate between sin and the sinner. You know how I know? From all the memes that show up against Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Chuck Schumer, Obama, from Christians. They can't separate the sin from the sinner. And you can ask anybody who was here during World on the Floor before Osama bin Laden was captured, even before Saddam Hussein was captured, we prayed for them to surrender their lives to Jesus. Not that they would be captured and killed, but that they would be found by God. That they would find who God really was. Because we can't control hatred. We see the sin and we instantly want to kill. We were never called to that, ever. And trust me, I understand the concept. It's hard to pull back from that mindset. Once you've been trained, this person is my enemy. When I was in boot camp, we, Marines in particular, we had two hatreds. Communists, our targets were called Ivan. They were shaped like Russian soldiers or their helmets and stuff. We were trained to kill them. But Marines in particular, especially in 1989, still had a fire burning against Arab people because of Beirut. My drill instructors lost friends. The guy over here lives on the corner of the church lot. He was there. Folks, we don't have the capacity to hate. Hatred keeps us from being able to love the person through the sin. I've seen a meme running around right now. And I'll just tell you, I've seen it, and it's kind of a good one. It really is. But here's what I want to help you with. The meme says, I wish I could see myself the way God sees me. And you all seen that? You don't have to show your hands. I know who posted it. Several of you. And it's a good one. Start looking through the eyes of love. That's how you'll find God. That's how you will see yourself, is through God's eyes. I've had this real strange thing happen in the last, I'm going to say 15 years. And it's odd. I don't quite totally know how to handle it. I will be sitting or doing something, and all of a sudden, I'll be looking through my father's eyes. As if I was my dad. Looking at the situation I'm in as if I'm my father. It's baffling. And no, there's no demon possession. But in the last 20 years, I'll tell you one thing I've learned to do is quit looking at people and looking through their armor, the walls, the exterior, the front they put on, the mask they may wear, and start looking at the person. See, when you see a, you know, there's actually quite a few people in here who have had issues with drugs. And then there was one thing that really showed up to me one time. I think it was a meme somebody put on there. When we look and we see somebody who's strung out on drugs, we instantly just start, there's something that happens to us. We just find ourselves getting angry. But we don't put ourselves in the shoes of the parent who knows their child is killing themselves. And they can't get through to them. You want to see yourself through God's eyes, start looking through others with love. Then you'll start seeing yourself. Demonic possession, you need to understand the person who is demon possessed is being told all the time, internally, you're not worth it. God doesn't love you. Without God's love, folks, there is no hope in this world. When the church is gone from this world, this is not going to be party central. There will be no love. Matthew chapter 11, I believe it is 12. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Let me break this down for you. When a person who has a demon becomes, or even oppressed, becomes a believer, they accept Jesus Christ into their heart. Light and darkness can't share the same space. The light wins every time. The demon has to leave. Sometimes he needs to be forcefully evicted. Most of the time, not really. My mom swears up and down my dad was demon-possessed. Very real possibility. Very real. And the reason she says that is my dad was a barroom brawler. And she saw him under a pile of men one night in a parking lot. And the next thing she knows, my dad is the only one standing. My dad is smaller than me. Little guys don't usually win those fights without Saturday night specials. He didn't have people laying hands on him casting out demons. He said, Jesus, be my Lord. Forgive me. When a man accepts Jesus Christ, the demon has no choice. That unclean spirit has to leave. Now your house is clean. Floors are swept. Linens are put back on the shelf. Everything's nice and clean. But you know what happens when you've been kicked out of your house? You're not real happy about it. And you come back and you're like, what's the deal, man? Somebody cleaned up my mess. Look, that was my mess. I made that. I'm the one that ruined Monica's life. I want her back. I'm the one that was tearing up Sherry. I'm the one that did all that stuff. I want her back. So what he does is he goes find seven. And these are not seven spirits who are arbitrarily picked at. And I'll tell you why this is chosen the way it is. According to the book of Enoch, which also tells us that the spirits of the fallen, of the giants who were killed, they have spirits that have to go somewhere. They need bodies. But each one of these angels that fathered these descendants, they taught mankind war, drugs, how to make alcohol, how to harm the babies, how to kill babies in the womb, magic, witchcraft, not sleight of hand. I'm talking about real garbage. These angels knew all this stuff, and they taught it. Lust. What do you think was fueling in them? So when a demon is pushed out, he goes and finds seven more. Do you know why he goes and looks for seven particulars? Because he knows you. He knows everything about you. And he gets you. And he holds on. And he comes back and says, I can't get back in the way I did. However, one of these seven will. And when one of them gets back in, they open the door. That's why I tell you, love, do not hate. Forgive. You don't know what they did. I don't care what they did to you. It's not for their benefit. Forgiveness is not for somebody else's benefit. It's for yours. Because Jesus said, if you cannot forgive, you will not be forgiven. And therefore, you will never be free. People have gone to hell holding on to their bitterness. I see Christians all the time. I just can't forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. I really don't care. Okay? Well, he cheated on me. I'll never forgive him. You had better forgive him. Because guess what? Even though God forgave your sins, and the Bible says he cast them as east to the west, for those of you who don't get that, they never meet. If you head east, you're always heading east. You head west, you're always heading west. You head north, you're going to get halfway around the world and start heading south. That's why he chose that saying. It's gone. You'll never catch it. However, there's this entity. We call him devil. Satan. One of the things he's called is the accuser of the brethren. Do you know why? Because he's the stenographer, keeping track. God, I got some things here against Patrick. Pat, On January 31st, 1970, you did this. Now, here's a great thing about the blood of Christ. Yeah, Pastor, I probably did. But see, we have an accuser. We have the prosecuting attorney over here telling the court what we've done. But what we have now in Jesus Christ is the greatest defending attorney. And he says, Your Honor, my blood, the devil knows what you did. The devil will bring back what you did. And if you do not forgive, the Bible says your sins come back upon you. Why? Because the devil is the one who's holding the records. That's why you have to be careful. The Bible, one of the things for the main requirement for a preacher, for an elder, and I say it goes for every believer, but these in particular, because they're supposed to be mature, is anger. You can't be somebody that flies off the handle. I tell you right now, if I were somebody that flew off the handle, there'd be nobody in here. You wouldn't like me. When I finally do snap, it's because I've been boiling for a while. You can ask my wife. I tend to be a volcano. Over time, I've had to learn to start giving it to God. And when I started giving it to God and I started seeing people through His eyes, it's a process. And sometimes, yeah, you can change pretty quick, but you've got to recognize that first and foremost. It's not AA here, folks, but I'm here to tell you, you've got to recognize your sin. You got to call sin, sin. Oh, it's not adultery. I just like women. Call it what you will. Adultery is adultery. Those are how demons get in. It's how they get hold of you. They may not always possess somebody, but I can promise you they are oppressing many people. And the first person who knows it is the person they are oppressing. But here's the problem. We like sin. We like it. Why do we do it? Because we like it. I ask myself sometimes, why do I like to drive fast? Because I like it. By the way, I know I'm not the only one in here. But what happens when I get caught? I got to pay a price. My last one was $200. Fort Worth loves their speeding tickets. By the way, don't rent a red Dodge. It gave me away. I was running with the traffic, but I'm the only one that cop pointed in. If it hadn't been for that red car, I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, Carmen had this song years ago about being on a beach and all the women in their skimpy bikinis. He said, my flesh and spirit had a race and the devil went full throttle. I thought about full throttle that day. I'm in a bright red Dodge Charger. Do you think I can outrun a radio? I can promise you. I ended up with a Mustang because a teenage boy thought he could outrun a radio. We have to be careful with what we're allowing into our lives. I heard somebody talk about one time about the movie ratings. Why they had, you know, those of us who have been around for a moment or two, you know, I remember when PG was risque. Then they came out with PG-13, making PG a little more mild. And then they came out, well, they had R. You know, back in the day, if you had R, you knew you were getting nudity. You know, now a lot of times it's a lot of language. And folks, you have to watch your mouth. I don't care. When you lose control of that mouth, the tongue is the only thing that can set this world on fire. Wars have started because of somebody's mouth. But the R rating used to actually didn't stand for restricted. It stood for raw. It was too raw for children. What do we do now that our children know more than we do? They've seen more. There are kids in elementary school watching pornography. And we wonder why things are happening. It's freedom of speech. You know what? Well, there ain't much speech going on. I read it for the articles, you lying dog. We have got to be careful. We're not exposing our children to things they should not be exposed to. I remember when Lord of the Rings came out. Great. I really do. I like it. Now, reading the book, y'all that read the book, more power to you. I'm a movie guy. I do like books. It was just, those were long movies, and I can imagine how big the books are. The biggest book I've ever read was this thick. And it involved Marines. So. But my children did not necessarily care for the movies. Because they're seeing things their minds can't wrap around. I don't think Joshua cared for him at all, but the other two, they just didn't like him. I'm like, let's watch this. This is so awesome. Can you see the imagery? No, they couldn't see the imagery because they couldn't get past the demon. We're raising children in the church who do not understand their power. And I'm not talking about teaching little children how to prophesy. I'm talking about raising children that know how to stand against the attacks of the enemy. I'm talking about children when the devil stands up in their dreams, they can stand back up and say, go back to hell. Horror movies don't bother me anymore. Why? Well, one, I'm 51, and I know it's not real. But you can ask my wife. I've not watched movies about demons. Well, don't you think Dracula was a demon? Totally made up, but yeah, I mean, if you want to go down that road. Frankenstein didn't live. The werewolf man. That wolf man, Jack Baby. I was just wondering if I could still pull it off. Okay. But do you know what? You got to be careful. I even have to be careful watching war movies. And you can ask my family. I like war movies. Well, Pastor, that's just senseless violence. Has anybody read the Old Testament? Has anybody read what David had to do to get Michael's hand in marriage?
I've talked about this before, but I'll bring it up again. 300 foreskins of Philistines. They didn't give them up willingly. David had to kill those men. And every man in here, and I'm not trying to be gross, but you're going to fight, right? Certain things you protect. David had to want to kill them. But David was not allowed to build the temple because of all the killing he did. King Saul was oppressed by a demonic spirit. And David's playing. You know why David's playing soothed him? Because it was anointed of God. Because David was the anointed king. And the demon rose up, I don't know if it could temporarily possess him, because I mean, there's some weird things if you look in the New Testament or the Old Testament. There was even one time Saul ran and he saw the prophets all standing around. It says they were prophesying. And he ran to them and got in with them and he began prophesying. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, I believe actually they were praying in the spirit. They were praying in tongues. I've looked that up before. It says they were babbling. And I am pulling my microphone apart. Demons are real. You have no reason to be afraid of them. You do need to watch what you're surrounding your heart with. Jealousies. Needs to feel accepted by other people. Now, I'm not saying you just be your regular bozo self. You can't witness to people if they don't want to hear you speak. Oh, by the way, if you are a jerk, your witness is judged. They've already judged you. They're not going to listen to what you have to say. They don't care. They don't care that you think you love them, but yet you treat them like dirt. No person should ever have to fear another man. I say that as somebody who used to fear people. I don't fear them anymore. Don't care how big they are. I told you before, I might get my butt kicked. But I will at least leave bite marks on their ankles. But I'm not worried about what people think of me. I worry about what the devil thinks of me. I'll wrap up here with this. In the book of Acts, we read about 7 young men. They were watching the man of God cast out demons. These 7 boys were brothers. And they were sitting at the back of that church service, and they saw this happening, and they knew this one old man out here, he was possessed. And they went around him, they surrounded him, and they said, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out." Let me stipulate some things here for you, folks. You have the authority. You had better know the source of your authority. The Bible says the demon, not the old man, the demon chimes up and says, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Who are you? Do you see yourself as God sees you? Years ago, somebody, I've shared about this many times, but years ago, somebody called, was giving a word. It was just my first closing. They were given a word, and I sat in that church service. And that man stood up there and he said, There's somebody here. He said, you feel like your armor. He said, I see it. He said, you feel beat up. Your armor is beat up. It's dirty. And you're ready to quit. He said, I want you to come up. And he said, but I'm not going to point you out. I know who you are. Folks, I'm here to tell you, there were five, I think it was five different people went up. One of them was my own grandmother. And he said, that may be you. You may feel like that, but you're not the one. And finally, I was sitting there, and I just moved my left foot and started my step forward, and he just was looking his way, and he pointed, and that's him. That was probably one of the first times God really started working in me. Because he told me that day that I would help kick doors down for other people. Kick doors down. You need to understand, that's violent. I've been accused of being a violent preacher. Don't know where they get it from. So much so to the point that he told me, he said, you go over and kick that door. Now, I know there was a little dent in it. I mean, I wasn't exactly wearing combat boots, but I did have hard-heeled shoes on, and they left a little dent there. And if that door's still there, that dent's still there. It's a restaurant now. But I tell you this, because at that point, I didn't see myself strong and powerful. By the way, I was a U.S. Marine at this point. The cockiest thing walking on the planet. I was a boot. I mean, it means right out of boot camp. And we're the cockiest things you ever wanted to see. They send us home so that our parents can hopefully form a human being again, because we think we're God's gift to the world. And it doesn't get any better the older you get. But I was supposed to not fear anything, and this man just read my mail. I never saw myself as somebody intimidating. Never. Like I said, I'm not a big guy. And I was even smaller then. Now I know I can just grab hold of you and weigh you down. But I'm here to tell you, the year we started this church, I had a dream in which I was, my wife, my in-laws, and another couple were with us. It was our old pastors. I went to this building. Don't know why we were going there, but I looked up and there's demons hanging out the window. And they said, we know who you are. You're not welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you right now, when God told me to start this church, I said, no. But then God reminded me of the things he started sharing with me and telling me. And the reason the devil doesn't want you here is because you got doors in your family. And they need kicked down. And you need violence to do that. Go away. I've always wanted to try a batting ram. The police have and the FBI, and they wham, hit that sweet spot on that door, and the door, what they don't show you is in reality, there's a hole in the door. I watched one where they kicked the door open and then they turned around and pulled the door shut and latched. No, you just blew the the whole side out of that jam. That's what happens when you kick doors down. And you need to understand there are spirits and they come back. There are familial spirits. Well, I cast them out years ago. What did the words of Jesus say? It says he goes out and he comes back. And he goes out and he comes back. And he goes out and he comes back. Are you seeing the habit? They want you. That is why you can't give the devil any foothold. Start with fear. Well, I'm not afraid of the dark. Well, that's good. That's good. Are you afraid of people? Well, I don't like people. Well, there's your first problem. You can ask my wife. I didn't like people. Somebody got offended when I said that one time. I said, I'm a pastor and I didn't like people. Literally, I had a mindset when I was in the Marines, kill them all and let God sort them out. That don't fly with God. He didn't come for us to kill them. As a Marine, that was my job. I'm not on active duty anymore. My job is to teach you how to be free, how to stay free. How do I recognize these things in your family and deal with them? And fathers, you have got to start taking the bull by the horns. You young men, I mean, we've got a bunch of them right now. They're over with the kids. Do you know how rare that really is anymore? When I was growing up, I only had one male Sunday school teacher. One. Because it was deemed to be beneath the men. And this man to this day, if he's still alive, he was a lot older than I thought he was. I loved him. Women were given it because, well, you know, women can't teach from the pulpit, but they can teach the kids. I'm going to tell you right now, after watching that movie, what, Hidden Figures, you got to watch it. Man, I felt so stupid. I'm like, y'all ladies figured that stuff out? Man, I can't even figure out the steps. I have to cheat. I go online. Tells me exactly my angles. And so I thank God for people who are smart enough to write programs like that. But folks, when we understand who we are, we don't have to be afraid of the devil. There are times I have these nice little conversations in the barn with God and with everything coming against me. My shop is a great place. There's spiritual warfare going on there all the time. You want to be free? I'm going to tell you right now, first off, watch what you're watching and listening to. And that means people. Well, you know, my family says, is your family God-fearing? And when I say God-fearing, that means their butts are in a seat regularly. They're worshiping regularly. I ain't saying you got to be there. You can go on vacation. I encourage it. Believe it or not, there's some preachers, they hate summer. Honestly, I ain't gonna lie. When we first started, I hated summer. We had about 20 people, and it seemed like somebody was always on vacation. It's like, man, we got 5 people again. You don't listen to fools. You're gonna go through a minefield? How about listen to the guy that's on the other side of the minefield? Not the jack wagon behind you saying, I wouldn't do it that way. See you later, Skittles. God loves you too much for you to be controlled by things. God loves your children too much for them to be controlled by these things. Now, I will say this for you parents, because I know it too. Your children are going to make their decisions that they're going to make. Some of them are going to be boneheaded. Thank God I got a hard head. Some of them hurt. But you don't quit praying. You don't quit loving. You continue to stand. You have the authority. We're just going to have to carry on. All right, stand. Yep, I can't stop. Everybody gets their stretch on. Fathers, I really do mean it. I'm proud of you. You're here. Your family knows you're here. Don't matter what you've done in the past. Today's a new day. David is spoken of in the church as this great man. He was an awful father, a terrible husband. I'm going to be honest. People say, well, you shouldn't talk against him. I'm not talking against him. I'm telling you who they were. I'm not judging him because I've judged myself. And there are days I'm in his boat. I'm a bad dad. I'm a jerk of a husband. So much so that whenever she'd call me a jerk, I'd say, somebody say jerk. Yeah, you got it. Oh, I can't believe your wife would ever say that. Well, I would hope she'd tell me when I'm being a jerk. Ladies. But we don't need to get into name calling. It doesn't go down a good road. But men, you need to be the heads of your household. You need to be the example. I'm trying not to cough. I had that tickle. I started getting that tickle Monday evening. I'm like, no, no. I came out for an hour and a half Tuesday. I went home with a bottle of Robitussin, and I didn't leave the house till Thursday night. And then I came back in, and I didn't leave again till Friday night to get a pizza, and that's been it. I didn't go to my offices. I didn't go anywhere. There was dust because I wanted to preach today. But anyhow, let me pray and bless you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that it frees us. I thank you that it shows us the path that is illuminated. That's why David wrote, "Your word is a light unto my path." Father, you show us where to go. Your word illuminates the pitfalls. Now, Father, I pray that you move in each and one of our hearts, Father, to keep vigilant of these pitfalls. And now, Lord, I bless your people. Father, I thank you for them. Again, Father, I bless these fathers with strength, with power, sound mind. Father, I thank you. You're moving in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.